the Jewish understanding of God, to answer how they're correct and how it's been not destroyed, but how the law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so that perfection, which is still not understood by the people of Israel as a nation, it is understood by individual Jewish people, many, as a matter of fact, more in this generation than ever before in the history of the world for the last 2,000 years. So many individuals in Israel have already received Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, HaMashiach. So this miracle that is taking place was promised by God, that the nation of Israel would one day return to the Lord God, and that God would get the glory for it, because God said, I will make them holy. I promise, I swear, of all the nations of the earth, I began with them, I will also finish with them, and then history will come to an end. That is happening in our day in such a way that for the first time in history, we could actually say that Israel is about to return to the Messiah, God's Messiah, and recognize the one that they pierced as actually their Messiah, and repent of that and say, God, Father, forgive us for not understanding. I want to explain today out of this book why that is such good news, not only for them, but for the whole world. Because the world will experience a great revival when that occurs, when that takes place in these last days. So let's begin in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. And last time I taught you the word skia in the Greek, the Greek word skion, skion gar, for a shadow, for foreshadowing. So this word skia or skion, for a shadow, it's a noun, a shadow. The law, which is on the left hand of God, which is on the left hand of God, the law is only a shadow. It's not the reality. So now a shadow is a real thing, but is not the thing that it's shadowing, the thing that caused the shadow in the light. So the light shines on the real thing and produces a shadow. The light, which is God and His Word and His truth, shines on the real thing and causes a shadow. So the shadow is what people see first. The natural man sees a law. It's written on everybody's heart. So you don't have to learn about the law. Everybody knows there's right and wrong. Everybody knows there's right and wrong. It's written on your heart. Now, I want to say that there's a battle going on in the United States right now and in the whole world, but particularly in the United States, as to whether there is really a right and a wrong. And multitudes, I didn't want to say 50-50, but I want to say it seems that way, that half of the people no longer believe there is a moral right, that there are things that are wrong and there are things that are right. And so there's a big battle going on in our universities, in our politics, in our economic circles, and so on, of whether there is right and wrong. And in this particular state, David and I just spent the last 2 days in Austin, with our leaders. And in this particular state, I think above all other states, we as a political body, as a society, and our institutions are committed to right and wrong. You do what's right, you don't do what's wrong. Now, whether that's done from the heart or not is not the issue. The only issue is, do you believe there is a right and wrong? Whether you've done it or not, that's not the issue. Maybe you believe in the right thing, but you did the wrong thing. That we're not discussing that. We're only discussing, do you as a nation, do you as a state, do you as a people believe there is right and wrong? And our state does.
Amen.
It may be the only state that does in such a bold and open way. I don't believe there is another state that is as clear on that, but there could be, but not as strong as we are. And therefore, our economic system, our political system, our social system, how we understand society, people relating to one another, and our churches are all in agreement, which is unusual today, because I was educated, and most people today are educated, to believe that there is no such thing as right and wrong. Now, there's an advantage to that. If there is no such thing as right and wrong, why would anyone say that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's really a clever idea. Then if you didn't do right or wrong, and there is no such thing as right or wrong, they're just relativities. Well, I think it's right today. But tomorrow, with some new evidence, I might think something else was right. Maybe that's wrong. Since there is no real absolute right and wrong, then everything's up for grabs and I don't have to feel guilty. So that's a beautiful idea. And I was raised that way. I was actually trained to believe that there is no right and wrong. I no longer believe that. But we believe, and the whole world's fighting over this. The entire world is discussing this and fighting this. And our political circles, and this is what the presidential election is going to be all about, whether there is such a thing as right and wrong. I mean, absolute. I know there is. I used to be a liberal. I used to be on the left. I'm from Chicago also. That helps. Where we said there was right and wrong, but I basically did wrong, and I wanted to do it, and I did do it, and I never felt bad about it. I liked doing it. But right and wrong is what divides the world today, and right will win. Wrong will lose.
Amen.
Now, just as the French Revolution failed because it didn't have right and wrong, and as the Russian Revolution failed because it didn't have right and wrong, so also those in our own nation will fail because they don't believe there is right and wrong. It's the quickest way to get rid of God and get rid of the law is just to say, well, there is no such thing as right and wrong. They're just relativities, you know. It's right under these circumstances, but when you look at it from this point of view, and I was trained in that. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. I was an expert in game playing, in being able to speak out of both sides of my mouth at the same time. Y'all know what I'm saying? I was trained to be a con artist, a liar, a thief, and so on and so forth. I actually was trained. I not only am that way naturally, but I was trained that way. And I was surprised when I got to all the upper schools that they'd already, I was already at the head of the class, and I'd never done anything good. But they already, these are religious people. I went to a religious church school like TCU or something. And they said, oh, by the way, there are no blacks and whites. Everything is gray. There's no right and wrong. Just do whatever you want. Well, that's the way it is today. And that's a wonderful view, because then how can you go wrong? If there's no right and wrong, you can come up with anything. And nobody can say you're wrong. But in Texas, we say you're wrong.
Right. I mean, amen.
Right. Yeah. Say amen.
Right. I mean, amen.
The whole world is arguing about God, really, of whether there's a God and whether he wrote on everybody's heart right and wrong. Everybody has a heart like that. Everybody's heart says that was wrong, that was right. And I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to say it. But it was fun the last couple of days, because David and I both contributed to the ongoing discussions. And it's very unusual for two people in the same church to both represent our city. But we represent the bulk of Tarrant County or of Fort Worth, and that's pretty amazing. At any rate, all the speakers and everything that went on, it was really powerful. And I'm right at home. You're right at home too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like going to church camp or something. So the political rulers and leaders are friends. They're, you know, the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and all these people, They're all friends. We all know each other. And it's neat to be with people who totally respect religious rites, religious truths, and don't want to go against them. But they also respect that free enterprise or capitalism or, you know, everybody has a right to pursue happiness and has liberty and justice and so on and so forth. They actually believe it. It doesn't matter. I'm not arguing whether they do it all the time. I'm only saying, do they believe it? Do they believe there's a right way to do society? There's a wrong way. There's a right way to do economics? There's a wrong way. There's a right way to do your politics, and there's a wrong way. There is good government, and there's bad government, and so on. This is important to me. I'm so glad I don't live somewhere else where that's disputed now, where everyone has become like me, the way I was when I was a pagan, when I grew up and just did as I wished, and then it was acceptable. But today we're in danger right now of being the last generation that will ever believe there's right and wrong. That's a danger, because there are multitudes of people now, I don't know what the number is, who actually believe it doesn't make any difference. And in this state, we do, and that is one of the reasons why we do so well in this state. And we are going to even do better, because every other state is going bankrupt, they're falling apart, but they're not just bankrupt economically, also politically, also socially. And you're having more and more chaos and darkness appear. And so Texas not only has to survive, but also has to lead the nation. And I really believe God has done that. I really believe that, because we honored God, feared God, and believe there's right and wrong. So these words mean a lot to me out of these scriptures, that God wrote on everybody's heart, don't do wrong, do right. Now, when I do wrong, and I do, when I do wrong, I don't say I didn't do wrong. I say I did wrong. And then I say something like this: God, forgive me. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see how long that took me? No beads. I didn't have any beads to count or to say. I didn't have to run around the church 5 times. I didn't have to light a candle or kiss an icon. I didn't have to do anything. All I did was say, God, sorry about that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did you see that? See how simple it is?
Yes.
Doing wrong, I never, never have to worry about, because Jesus Christ paid for all my sins. Do y'all see that? So
Amen.
On the right side of God is the gospel, the good news, which I just told you. On the left side is the law. Now, what Jesus did was set us free from the law. The law itself is good. But the sting of the law is, if you sin, you die. That's not good. Because I do sin, and therefore I would die. And there's nothing I can do to make up for it, because once you've sinned, you've sinned. That's why the liberals avoid that by saying there is no right and wrong. And that kind of language is going on today is, oh, you poor thing. I don't believe that. I don't believe there are any poor things. Now, little children could be victims, but once you grow up and you're able to act on your own, you're guilty. You're the one making your own decisions. If you're miserable, it's your fault. Let's say you're happy. Oh, it's because your parents were dysfunctional. Oh, that's because the economy was unkind to you. Oh, that's because people are this or that. No, it isn't. It's just because you didn't decide to act. You, all by your lonesome, can just simply make decision, I'm going to be happy.
Amen.
Not only that, I'm going to go to work. Not only that, I'm going to, you know, have a ball. I'm going to get out there, and all the problems in the world don't bother me. I know with God, I can do all things.
Amen.
That is a right-wrong understanding of life, where the only victim is Jesus. And he voluntarily died and became a victim of our sin. So when he sees me sinning, he says, don't worry about it, Jim. I paid for that. I already paid for that. I want you to leave the left side and come over here to the right side and smile. And so the good news is so good, so unbelievably good, that I can't imagine everybody isn't jumping up and down on your pew right now. Because that is too good. It is too amazing that you could have not an uneasy conscience of the liberal, but the peaceful conscience that has no guilt in it whatsoever, no condemnation, no worry at all, whether you did right or wrong, because God is good.
Amen. Amen.
And it isn't something he's wanting you to become. It's something you already are because you believe.
Amen.
So on the right hand, we believe. You cannot do enough. If you do something wrong, you cannot do enough to make up for it. Has anybody here discovered that you're not perfect? And no, let's say, even though you're perfect, you know you've done a few bad things. But your perfection has nothing to do with doing or not doing, performing or not performing, obeying a command or disobeying a command. You will never go to heaven because you did good. And you will never go to hell because you did bad. The only thing that decides everything before the great arbiter of the universe, before God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that matters to him is, do you have faith that he is good? There is a good, and he is.
Amen.
And you're not.
No.
And so when you behave, and this is what the liberals are trying to get away from, when you behave but you don't do it from the heart, you're condemned. That they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Because they know they've misbehaved outwardly, and they think, well, if I do one wrong, I'll make up with it with six or seven rights. And they actually use government to force people to do what's right. Hey, it's not right that everybody doesn't have the same amount of money. It doesn't right that everybody doesn't have a home. It doesn't right that everybody doesn't have a job. Everybody should have it. It's only fair. It's only fair. It's only fair. No, it isn't. No. That is not the way the world works. We are not going to ever all be equal. You don't have the same background. You don't have the same family. There's no way. All you need is an opportunity with God's help to pursue happiness. And you might or might not do it. It depends on, you know, you and your relationship with God, the decisions you make for your life. How many know that's not unfair? That is the way it can be. But when you get Jesus, if you seek first the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, I will give you everything else. I believe that. I believe that that's the secret politically, economically, and socially. That's the secret to life right there, that we have a God who's good. And he's the one that said, this is good government, this is bad government. This is good politics, this is bad politics. This is good economy, this is bad economy. He's the one that made up all those rules. And I believe he's the one that's responsible then to make the good come out and make the bad not. Not me. What can I do to make that happen? So he said, okay, here's what you can do. Seek first the kingdom. I'll give you everything else. Now, if you've received anything or achieved anything or gotten anything, it was a gift. It was a gift from God. Give him the glory. Give him the thanks. If what happened to you, brother, you know, just give God the thanks. It wasn't that you prayed and earned it by a prayer, or you fasted and earned it by fasting, or it isn't anything we did or didn't do. It's just that God's good. We just have a good God. And you can live the same life as somebody else and think God is not good. I mean, everybody makes their own decision on that one. And there's no reason for you to say he's good. You could say he's bad. Anybody could say that. But there's no reason that you would say he's bad. You don't know that he's bad. You don't know that he's good. You just simply make a decision. You want a bad God, you get one. You want a good God, you get one. That's all. And so the Bible says, as you believe, so it will be. So whatever you believe, you made that decision. I happen to believe, I just chose to. Nobody made me do it. I happen to believe, I choose to believe that God is good. Where do I base it on? The Bible. But no one, the Bible doesn't force me to believe that. No one made me believe that. I just believe it. A liberal would say stuff like, well, I had no choice. You know, we had to force you on that one. Really? Why? I know why, because you don't believe in God. You don't believe that. See, the government, when it makes a rule, a law, an ordinance, anything that forces you to do something or stop doing something, can only be negative. They can't tell me to love my neighbor. All they can tell me is don't harm my neighbor. And then they can punish me for doing so. And they can say, you know, you harmed your neighbor, so therefore we're going to fine you or imprison you or kill you. I'm okay with that. I don't mind that. It doesn't bother me at all. That's just part of life. They don't ask you to not be a hypocrite. They don't care that you actually love your neighbor. They just don't want you to harm him or her. They don't care if you love your neighbor. They don't make you stop and bake a cake for everybody on the road. You know, as I'm driving along, stop at the first house, bake a cake, you know, go to the second house, you know, paint their house, third house, you know. They don't make you do that. How many know they don't make you do that? They just don't want you to go over, you know, 55. That's all. And if you go 57, they won't do anything. If you go 58, they won't do anything. It's kind of a gray thing. And then pretty soon, you know, they'll do something. And you have to figure out what that number is. And since I often exceed all numbers, I need a God, as I often mess up. And I have my own reasons on the inside, but it doesn't change the law. The policeman doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't care. Well, there was an opening on the side of the road, and I just took it. And I know there's one or two other church members that also do that. I know who you are. At any rate, it's wrong. It doesn't matter that I did it. It's wrong. It's evil. It's not right. And it doesn't matter whether it's man's law or God's law. It's just a law, and you know, I often break it. But if I get caught, then I don't get to say I'm innocent. I mean, I always try to think of things to say. Like, I was on my way to a funeral, or, you know, I try to think of something, you know, going to say. But the truth is, they don't care. They just say, take it up with the judge. You know, take it up. But when Jesus came along, spiritually, he solved all of my problems as far as conscience is concerned. Now, let's read this first one, which starts out with skion. Skion. Okay? So that is the first Greek word here. And I'm going to refer to the Greek because it doesn't say in English what I want to say. For a shadow of good things, that's what the law has. So the law, having a shadow of good things to come, the law, which is on the left side, having a shadow is not the real thing. A shadow is not the thing itself. It's just a shadow of the thing itself. So the law, having a shadow of things, good things, to come, what? What? That can't make anyone perfect. It's only a shadow. It's not the very image itself. But Jesus is the image of the living God.
Amen.
So because he is the image, that is the very likeness of God. He said, show us the Father. Well, no, he said, I am the image of the Father. I can't show you the Father. Because the Father is in me. And as a Christian, you're not looking at me. You're looking at the Father. You're looking at the Father in the Son through the Spirit in me. And therefore, if you don't see that, well, that's because you're not a believer. An unbeliever is going to have difficulty seeing the Father in the Son through the Spirit in me. But God has no problem. God can see when he looks at me is, that's my beloved Jim. Now, is that fair for me, who often do wrong? Is that fair for me to be happy in this world? Should I be smiling? I mean, I have not gotten what I deserve. I have not. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve, you know, good health. I don't deserve to be alive. I don't deserve anything. And yet, I'm enjoying every bit of it. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, but you can put me anywhere, go to prison, you know, cut off my hand, whatever. I'm still going to be thankful and grateful to God.
Right.
So I'm not really looking for heaven on earth. I'm already in heaven. Because of my inside, that is what I believe, what God has said. I don't care what I feel about it or think about it or see or experience or know or desire or whatever. I don't care about all that. I'm not a liberal. I don't care about this world. I don't want to write novels. I'm not going to write a novel about all the interesting things I feel and think and desire. That's what novels are. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Sorry. As valuable as you think they are, they're just novels, which means they're entertaining a possibility, but it's not reality. So they have no authority whatsoever. So, well, I enjoyed that novel. You know, you just enjoyed looking at your own stomach. All you're doing is wasting time. It's a waste of time. Now, I'm going to say it again because you probably never heard that before. There is no authority to poetry or prose. There's only authority when it comes from the Almighty God, the author of heaven and earth. Now that has authority. So when I say my conscience is clean, that's not what I feel. That's not what I think. That's not what I desire. That's just the truth, because God said it. Now, so for me, not you, but just for me, that pleases God, the Bible says. Now I'm going to end all my theology right here. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. That's it. There it is. Now that's why I'm a happy person. That is all. I don't have any more theology than that. Anything I ever say, that's it. I just said it. Jesus loves me. You know that that's not written on your heart? How could you possibly know that? Well, it's written in the book. Okay, so for the Bible tells me so. That's why. I heard that, and I didn't believe it, but then one day I did, and that changed my life forever. So Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the end of the matter. There's my authority right there. And a little one, an immature person, me, whatever, I'm weak, but he's strong.
Amen.
And did you know little kids, little bitty kids, I mean two-year-olds, they can actually sing that song and you can't improve upon it. You can never improve upon that. They could carry that song all the days of their life forever and you'll never get beyond it. No theologian, no professor, no brilliant scholar can go beyond that little kid's confidence that he has. So I know this, Jesus loves me, no matter what. I know that over here, I'm not perfect. I have no certainty in this world over here. Nothing is certain, nothing is determined. I'm just loose cannon. And so I don't worry about all that. This is what I worry about over here, this rock. This one doesn't move. This is sand, this is rock. This one, you know, a storm comes along and it moves. This one doesn't move. And so my foundation is so simple. And Christianity for me is very simple. God is good. God loves me unconditionally, no matter what. Now, is that wrong of me to be happy?
No.
Is that wrong of me who, I didn't do anything good. I didn't do, maybe you think I did. But if you think I did, you're wrong. I didn't do it. Anything. If something good came out of me and you thought it was from me, I was just a channel.
Right.
And I probably wasn't even aware that I was channeling. Because God is the source and you should give God the glory.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jim, for sharing that. I didn't share anything. If it came out of me, that was a miracle. I was probably thinking something selfish. Like, why'd you wear that hat today? You know, I wasn't even thinking of being a blessing to somebody. I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of thinking process. But the truth of the Bible, somehow, faith cometh by hearing, somehow by sharing the truth of the Bible, the one that I believe, the one that I'm living, that's powerful. And people get healed, set free, saved, delivered, all kinds of blessings come out of that, and nothing cursed, no bad, all good, no bad. Amazing to me. How many know the truth will set you free?
Amen.
But your emotions will not. How many feel things? Everybody has feelings. Discount them. Don't follow them. Psychology is witchcraft. I mean, you start thinking about psychology, and you're going nowhere. You're just looking at your belly button. That's it. You're not getting anywhere. It has no authority at all. Well, I just feel like she doesn't like me. Well, stop feeling. She doesn't. She doesn't even think about you. She's thinking selfishly about herself. Nobody's thinking about you or liking you or whatever else. God likes you. God loves you. That's it. That truth will set you free. The other one will make you miserable, because later you'll find out that one you thought didn't like you or did like you, you might have been wrong about that. You know what? You never know anything from a feeling. It has no authority whatsoever. Well, let's say a thought comes into your head. Here it is like a bird flying over your head. And it just jumps into your head. It's just a thought. Oh, it's going to be another one of those days. This thought just comes into my head. All of a sudden, you know, I was okay, but then that thought came into my head. Hope something bad doesn't happen today. Just the thought just comes into my head. But you don't have to entertain it and let the bird fly down and make a nest in your hair and stay there. It's just a thought. And the Bible says, take every thought, the bird flying over your head, and instead of letting it nest and thinking it's real, you just simply take it to Jesus. Jesus, is this a good thought or not? No. And then he'll just tell you, and that's the end of that, and let that thought just fly on. It had no meaning. I had a dream last night. I think, you know, I'm in trouble because it was bad. I got crushed. It doesn't mean anything. Hello? It doesn't mean anything. All dreams don't have meaning. Okay? There may be one or two that do, but please don't imagine that every dream you had is meaningful. You know, I'm often doing things in dreams that I cannot do. And I know that is not real. You know, and sometimes people actually appreciate me, and that's in a dream. It's not real. So don't worry about all that nonsense. So let's say you have a desire. Boy, I've always wished I could own a farm, live out in the country, and not have all the hassle of living in the city. It's just a desire. It has no reality. And then you shape your life according to that silly desire. And you get rid of everything you have and go and move out on the farm. And then you don't even know what an O-ring is, and your tractor's sitting out in the field, and you went broke. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people should not operate by their feelings, their thoughts, or their desires. Now, I know in our society, people feel that the mind is supreme. Really? Did you know that every thought has an opposite thought? I don't care what it is you think, it's very easy for your mind to think the exact opposite in the next second. There is no such thing as a thought that is just obviously truth. It's just a thought. So you have to check it. So the Bible says, take every thought captive to the Word of God.
Amen.
Now what I'm doing is telling you that the Bible actually opposes this world and everything I ever did. Everything I did, everything I thought, everything I said, everything. It opposes all of that and says, that will not put you on the right side of God. And that will not set you free. That's not the truth. And so, we are having an argument in this country, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to win.
Amen.
We will win. Because truth always beats lies. Light always beats darkness. And, you know, whatever God has said will always prevail, no matter what. And isn't it interesting how this particular state right now is flourishing while other states are not? There's no possibility it's going to come out of Utah or it's going to come out of, you know, even Virginia or something. Now, they may have some similar ideas, but this state is so crazy that we actually, our legislators and the people that run this state actually believe that God is real. And we passed one resolution yesterday, which I helped to write, and I'm not even on the committee. I just happened to be sitting there, and I heard them arguing, and I said, I have some language. Would that help? And the chairman acknowledged me, and I said it, and it got passed. And that was to recognize the state of Israel right now and to recognize that we have something, as a state, this is written now to our governor and lieutenant governor and legislature and everybody, that as a state, we want to not follow present administrative, you know, views on things, but as a state, that our state should make a statement to the Israeli government and the Israeli people that we support you and we're not trying to, you know, cut you off or do harm to you. We want to see you blessed. Because this nation is built on, and I wrote this, the same Judeo-Christian philosophy that is not Islamic, it's not Hindu, and it's not Buddhist, which sees God as the ruler of the universe and one who is favorable to us and wants to bless us and doesn't believe that, you know, things should just fall apart and we should have chaos and darkness, but actually believes we're here to make a difference and that we should really love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what politics is all about for me. Politics is not about politics. It's not about all the corruption that takes place. It's all about one neighbor loving another.
Amen.
And it's part of my duty. Where did I get the duty? I didn't get it written on my heart. I have some of that written on my heart, but I got it from Jesus, who said, give to Caesar what belongs to him. Just don't give him what belongs to God. Give to God what belongs to God. So Jesus clearly reinforced the idea that you give to Caesar. And remember, the Jewish people were wrestling over that. Is it right to pay tribute to Caesar? Jesus solved it. Yes. Give him whatever is his due. Show me a coin. He looked at the coin and it had, whose inscription? Whose picture?
Caesar.
Okay, give him what belongs to him. It's his coin. He made that one. Put a stamp on it. Do you know what Jesus was really saying? He was really saying, but who made the Caesar? God. God wrote on him and put his stamp on him. And he said, you are limited. You are only a temporal ruler. I am the true ruler. So God put his stamp on Caesar, so Caesar's under God. And the only reason I would ever obey Caesar is because he has to obey God. And if he doesn't, then I am not bound. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not bound to God. I'm not bound to obey King George III if he goes against God the Almighty. He does the unjust things and breaks his word, which he did. And so the Americans said, therefore, we are relieved of obeying him because he is relieved of protecting and blessing us. Because he decided not to bless us but turn us over to Parliament, which is supreme, playing God, therefore, we are no longer under the king. So we argued. And so that's how we came to be. And in this Texas, we paid with blood to be free from the Mexican government at that time, which was under a man, Santa Anna, who believed that we were just to be used as the Americans were by the mother country, England, in 1776. We were just to be used for the benefit of the mother country. And in Texas, we just said, no way. First of all, we're a far distance from you, and you got to travel a long way. But second of all, we're under God. And if you're not, then we're not under you. And so, because Santa Anna had to break his own constitution and become an enemy to the inhabitants because he just made up his own rules as to how it should be. And many in our government are doing that today, by the way, is making up their own rules, just making them up, deciding things that are not written in the Constitution. Tons of things, taking away your liberties and so on and so forth. Ain't going to happen. Not here. Why? Because all it takes is one to stand up. Do you know that there's great power in the prayer of one before God? You know, there's great power, just one standing up and saying, no, it's not right and I'm not going to do it. Because my conscience is bound. So I'm going to do what is right, and we are committed to doing what's right. Do we always do it? No. But we're committed to doing it, and when we do wrong, we say we did wrong. So we're not afraid to do wrong. You know what? If you do things, you'll do something wrong. If you don't do anything, you won't do anything wrong. But there's no possibility that you can do nothing. No matter what you do, you're going to do something, and you're going to do something wrong. So it's better just to not worry about that because Jesus Christ has set us free. So Jesus said when he came into the world, according to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it is written in the roll of the book or in the volume of the book or in the scroll that contains the book. Thou, God, do not desire sacrifices and offerings of bulls and goats being shed. In other words, that's not what God wants. You know why? Because the blood of bulls and goats will not make you perfect before God. And so they have to do it every year. Every year they have to kill some more goats and some more bulls and some more lambs and some more turtle doves and whatever else. And you're never, your conscience is always unsettled. And it's so sad that so many Christians have a disquieted conscience. My conscience is peaceful.
Amen.
I do sin, so it should be disturbed, but it's not. Because I'd say what I said. God, I did wrong. Forgive me. Thank you. Amen. And I just go on. You see how easily I just did that? Do y'all see how easy that was? No working at it. No being sincere. Nothing. I just believe that truth. It's like, God, no, I'm really feeling this strong, so I think you should pay attention. No, I didn't do that. I don't really care about my psychological states. I don't refer to God when I was saying that. I was actually thinking of the roast in the oven. I don't really care. What I said was true, that God forgave all my sins. Why? It's written in the book. He said that. I'm relying on what he said. It's totally objective. I am not subjective. I am not a subjective person. Well, Pastor, what do you think? I don't know. Who cares? Well, what do you feel? I don't know. I don't care about that either. Well, what do you want? I don't want anything. I want God's will to be done. I want God's words to be said. Whatever God feels, that's what I feel. And I don't care if I feel something else. I don't even count it. That sets you free forever. You see how you're building your life on a solid foundation? Now, this may be the only place in the world where as a large body of people, a state, actually believe that and fear that. And every time we come together, I've been on for 12 years, but I've been involved for 25 years. Every time we come together, we all agree on the basic things. We only disagree as to how to achieve those basic things. So we call those ends and means. The ends are always common. We all agree. If we didn't, we'd be in another group. But our group, we always agree. We don't ever argue about the basic ends of government, why we're here, whether the Constitution is true, whether homosexuality is correct or whatever. We don't argue about any of those things. We only argue about the means to achieve them or how to make laws or rules or whatever that actually brings that about in the right way. We don't want to do anything wrong. If we do, we just say we did wrong on that one and we change. So in this state, I can just tell you, it's marvelous. It's like going to church, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, everybody there, even the Jewish people that are there, there are Jewish people on there, they also agree with us the same way. We have all kinds of people there. They all agree the same. We're never arguing about basic things. But the rest of the United States is arguing about basic things. They put what you call principles. They're compromising their principles. Why? They don't have any. They don't have any. Even if they believe in those things, if you really believed in those things, why are you doing that? And so you ask, you know, how can the liberal believe in, you know, making everybody equal when he goes home to his suburban home at night and the people that he's supposedly helping are, you know, staying on the street? It doesn't make sense to me. If you really believe in that, why don't you give up your home? Why don't you invite them all to take your home? You live under the bridge if you want everybody to be equal. Anyway, the point is, I don't believe in liberals. I believe they're all liars. And I actually believe that we're not improving our nation one whit by pretending that we care for other people. You know, a liberal, when he cares for other people, you know what liberals do when they care for other people? They love humanity in the abstract. But they hate you in particular. That's not loving people. There's something phony about that. Is, oh, I think we ought to be fair to all people. Really? Do you know all people? How can you be fair to all people? You don't even know what you're talking about. When you're unfair to me personally, I don't believe you. Because I don't think you want to be unfair to me and want to be fair to everybody else. I mean, you know that liberals hate conservatives. I don't hate them. I just think they're wrong. I don't hate them. I'm not mad at them. I don't want to change them. I'm not trying to convert them. I just simply have different words to say. And I believe their way won't work and never has worked and never will work, ever. The French Revolution failed. The Russian Revolution failed. And this present progressive, revisionist, liberal nonsense, which I grew up in, will absolutely fail and fall apart. Isn't that exciting? Now, one last word in the Greek. This word is a very interesting word. And it comes in connection with the conscience, that your conscience and my conscience should have no disturbance in it whatsoever because of the love of God, because of the truth of God. Because Jesus Christ is my life. So I don't have to worry whether I did it or didn't do it, because Jesus did it, and he did it for me. So therefore, my conscience is clean before God. Now, this word says that aireo, or haireo. Haireo means like heresy. So if you look into that word, you can't do it in English, but if you look into that word, what it means is that Jesus took us from this side over here, where we were trying to keep the law and behave, and we misbehaved. And so he, instead of, and under the law, it's sin and death. You sin, you die. You sin, you pay. You know, you have to do something, and if you don't, then you have to, justice has to be done to you. Okay, here's what this word says. Ana haireo. So, ana haireo says, no, Jesus Christ can come and intervene and take you out of this kingdom, this regime, even though God set up the law, because that's not God's highest rule. This one's going to trump. This word haireo is going to trump, and can put you into this one where you didn't earn it at all, you didn't do it right at all, but Jesus did it for you by his death. So by him dying or getting killed or executed, you are now, the law's still the same, but it isn't for you anymore. It doesn't apply to you. When the law is broken, you didn't do it, even though you did it. But he, who didn't do it, he didn't break the law, he takes it on himself and says, but kill me instead of Jim. He subs for me. Kill me instead of Peggy, instead of Mark, instead of David, and so on. And so Jesus, when he dies, because of this word, he's able to pay and say, the law doesn't apply to Jim, let it only apply to me, because I have his life. I am his life. I'm subbing for him, and the Father said I could do this. So he comes down and says, Jim, I want to put you over here, but I'm not going to force you, because you're not under a law. Over here I forced, but over here I'm the one that took the death voluntarily. I took the death for you. So ana means up, and haireo means normally to take up. So he took up your sin, put it on himself, died, and then set you free by putting you over in this other kingdom. Does he have a right to take up your sin? Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but he just did it, and then he said, the Father told me I could do it. And then we killed him because we didn't believe him. But he said, oh, thanks, because that's what I wanted you to do. So I just died for David. And by the way, for you that are just killing me, I died for you too. Now, does he have a right to be merciful to whomever he wants to be? Yes, he does.
Sure.
You cannot stop God. First of all, you don't even know him. You're not God. If he wants to make up a rule like that, that my left hand is not actually my true will. It's only my temporal will until I can bring out my true will, and I decided to do that later. Remember good things to come? Remember, the law is a shadow of good things to come. Well, Jesus is the good things. It isn't good things at all. It's Jesus. And here's the things. I'm going to be merciful to you, forgive you, and then I'm going to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit to change you. I'll do all that. Wow, well, there's nothing left for me. If Jesus does it all, then what can I do to help? Do I have to have good understanding? Do I have to have good feelings? Do I have to have good anything? No. Because he came to me while I was a sinner. And he said, through this word that I just told you, ana, which means going up or elevated, up, to take up. And haireo, because of that word, ana haireo, he now is taking up all your sins onto himself. You got all the burden. And he sets you free, gives you all the blessing. Ah, what a perfect Lord and Savior. To do that, I didn't even deserve it. After he did it, I still didn't appreciate it. I didn't even understand it. And I'm not even explaining it well to you. I'm just telling it to you. It's so rich. The English doesn't say all that I just said. It just has one little word, ana haireo. But that word is so powerful. Why? Because then I don't have to pay. And it's already been paid. And now I'm not trying to be or trying to become a good Christian or I'm learning how to be a good Christian. I already am. I am because he am. And if he am, I am. And that's what ana haireo means. That he did, he took my sin and then gave me his status, standing in heaven. So he said, he cancels the one or fulfills the one to establish the other. Does God have a right to do that? Can he cancel the one which is called the law, the command, me performing, and put it over here where he performed for me, and then in me, and then through me? Can he do that? Can he really do that? Is that right of God to do that? Is that just? Is that fair? That God trumps his own word? He gave me the law. Why doesn't he take it seriously? He did. Put it on Jesus. Say, oh, yeah, by the way, Jim, it doesn't apply to you. It applies to Jesus. Because he ana hyreod me. That's called Savior and Lord. And now he's doing it all, and I don't do it. I can't argue with him because I don't even know what he's talking about. All I know is it puts a smiley face on me. Wow. What, you mean I'm forgiven? You're not only forgiven, Jim. You're a new creation. Me? But I still behave like I'm an old creation. I know, but I'm not counting your behavior. That's under the law. If there's no law, then there's no misbehavior. Remember the liberals? All they have to do is get rid of the law and say there is no right and wrong, then there's no guilt. How clever of them. But you know what? How foolish of them, because they're still under the law, even though they said there is no law. They lied. There is a law. But I didn't make up for it or have some philosophy that made up for it. Jesus did it. And I believe in Jesus. Now, the argument in the world today is going to be whether Jesus is real or not. And you know what? None of us are going to solve that. All I can tell you is we're being blessed beyond measure, and we're going to be even more blessed. That's all I can tell you. Sorry if you don't believe it. I mean economically, politically, socially, and spiritually. That God is about to display his glory. Does he have a right to do it? Mm-hmm. He can do it. Anyway, I believe it. Whether you do or not, that's up to you. You don't have to believe it. But I'm just telling you what the Bible saith. This is what the Bible saith. I don't care if you're good. I just want you to believe that God is. I don't care if you've done good. Just believe that God has done good. You don't need to get in on this, or how do I get that, Pastor? It's already got. Just enjoy it. Smile. Well, I don't think I fully understand it. You're never going to fully understand it anyway. Just unfully understand it and take it. And smile. Move on. Why do you want to waste time counting beads? Why do you want to waste time running around the church 15 times? Why do you want to waste time lighting candles? Why do you want to waste time performing when there's nothing more to be done? We are complete in him. Now, does everybody here believe this? I don't know. I don't know who you are. Well, I do. I, for one. Now, does anyone else want to stand up and say, thank Jesus for anahyreoing me? Because that Greek word is not easy to translate into English. But whatever it means, it's good. And I like it.